How's it going? Happy weekend to you. Dieter Kurtenbach joined by Mark Medina here at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon. Lovely Portland, Oregon. I'm really enjoying my time. We're having some beers and we're talking about a Warriors 110-99 win in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. Warriors are now up 3-0, which means that in a matter of days, whether it be 2 or 4 or whatever, they are going to be going to a fifth straight NBA Finals, which is unprecedented in the modern era. Hasn't been done since the Boston Celtics of the 60s, who, you know, played against seven other teams. We're witnessing history in real time, and what we've witnessed over the last two games is the Warriors engine, Draymond Green, taking it to just another level. I've run out of superlatives for him. Mark, you got to help me out with this.
I can help you out because I talked with Draymond. I was wondering, you know, he had 20 points, 6 of 12 from the field, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. That's a typical stat line that we've seen with Draymond Green, his seventh postseason triple-double, and I believe his third of this postseason specifically. Hey, is this the best stretch Draymond Green has ever had in his career? He thinks yes, but with a qualifier, because he's very mindful of, hey, maybe people might think that way because he's scoring a lot, but he recalled he felt like he was also at his best at different points in the 2015-16 season. Mm-hmm. That includes, even though it didn't end on a good note, that game 7 in the 2016 finals where he had, what, it was 32 points, 11-15 from the field, 15 boards, 9 assists. Bottom line, Draymond is doing all the things that make Draymond great. He's stuffing the stat sheet. He's providing a hell of a lot of a leadership, and it's affected the rest of the team in a very good way.
I'd be happy to talk about Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals. It's coming up every day in my life since Kevin Durant went down. And Draymond's Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals is very high on the list of all-time war daddy, this guy is a winner, just protect Draymond at all costs games. I remember being at that game and just remembering the rest of the Warriors not rising to the moment. And Draymond Green willing that team into the ball game, and he just couldn't get the job done in the end because ultimately he's not a jump shooter, and that's what the Warriors needed to contrast what LeBron James and specifically Kyrie Irving were doing. But we also forget there weren't very many shots made in the final few minutes of that game. Draymond Green absolutely brought it. Steve Kerr brings this up a lot. I love to bring it up to Steve Kerr. Draymond is putting stuff together to where he doesn't like to remember that game because they lost that game, and Draymond only cares about wins. But what Draymond did tonight, I felt, was an extension of his incredible fourth quarter and specifically final 4 minute and 28 second performance in game two, when he just pushed the Warriors absolutely over the edge, both on the defensive and the offensive side. Tonight, it was 40 minutes of that, and you saw it from the get-go. The Warriors start Damian Jones, surprising, ill-fated, is what it is. Who knows what that was about? We can speculate. The Warriors are a little bit, they didn't want to cop to it too much. Steve Kerr didn't want to cop to it too much. He said he might have thrown in Damian a little early. He only played 3 minutes, and they were not great minutes. Damian's a great guy, though. I really like Damian. I think he's going to have a big impact in the NBA Finals, or at least he's going to play a role in the NBA Finals. Nevertheless, from the get-go, you saw Draymond Green pushing the pace. And this is the core tenet of the pre-Kevin Durant Warriors, which is we're going to get out and run, and you cannot run with us. And the Blazers actually ran with the Warriors pretty damn well in the first half. And this is where I think the separation came. Draymond's defense really kicked into a second gear, and it was good in the first half. It was great in the second half. The Warriors' team defense as a whole, Alphonso McKinney had a great second half. Really good defense in that. But what the Warriors were able to do was just continue to do what they were doing in the first half a little better, a little cleaner, a little more effectively, a little more controlled. And the Blazers, they looked dog tired. They looked like they had been out in the hot sun for 3 hours straight and then were asked to run a marathon. They couldn't get the job done. Dame Lillard comes in with about 9:30 left to go in the fourth quarter. He misses his first three shots, and you just saw it. He was missing bunnies. And you just saw he didn't have the legs. And that is the culmination of having to play 82 regular season games, in the Blazers' case, 81 really hard regular season games, having to play a tough first-round series against the Oklahoma City Thunder, which they surprisingly won, having to play a seven-game series at altitude against the Denver Nuggets, where Lillard and McCollum are just having to do everything for this team in the fourth quarter. That was the culmination of 100 games of stress on those guys' legs. And the Warriors, as frustrating as it was throughout the regular season, as annoying as it was throughout the regular season with them not really trying all that much and really taking her easy, and you watch the difference between a postseason game and a regular season game and you go, they're playing at half speed. All of that lollygagging and sandbagging, it's paying big-time dividends right now. The Warriors look absolutely great. They've taken their game to another level. They're playing at their peak for the first time all year. And it's coming through in these big moments because they're not fazed by the big moments and they got the legs to respond accordingly to them. Mark, I mean, as ridiculous as this sounds, that's greatness. Being able to play the long con so much that you can show up. Kevin goes down, that's fine. We got the legs to handle it. That's real greatness. And maybe that's the biggest benefit of having Kevin Durant on this team, that you can just get away with that because they didn't play all that hard in the first few games of the postseason. They just gave the ball to Kevin and let things happen. But, man, this team going into the NBA Finals against either Milwaukee or Toronto, I think it's probably going to be Milwaukee given that they're up 2-0. You have to feel so good about the way that they're playing. They're clicking on all cylinders, and they look fresh. As weird as that sounds, this team looks fresh.
And when you're looking at this game, this encapsulates, I think, the hand-wringing of Steve Kerr, but why he's very brilliant. I mean, he chose a starting lineup that, if you're looking at it from a statistical standpoint, it was an awful decision. You're starting Damian Jones, who hasn't really played a lot of games. It's his third appearance after getting injured December 1st when he tore his left pectoral muscle, and he throws him in the game. Honestly, it's impressive. Like, I don't know how you get three fouls in 3 minutes and 17 seconds. Damian Jones got it. They fell behind early. They open the second quarter with that staggered second quarter unit that just doesn't work. What is it? It's with Klay Thompson, Sean Livingston, Jordan Bell, Jonas Jerebko. Who's the other guy I'm missing here?
Quinn Cook?
Yeah, Quinn Cook. And that didn't go over well. But the thing that Steve Kerr is measuring, he's not looking at, okay, are these guys good as a good fit? He's thinking about the long game of, hey, can the Warriors afford to do this by buying minutes for some of these young guys? And just think about it. What if this backfired on Steve Kerr, where they lose game three? All of a sudden, Portland feels the momentum. There is injury news. Andre Iguodala played only 18 minutes because he had some tightness, soreness in his left calf. Andre afterwards seemed fine. He was jovial, wasn't walking with a noticeable limp, but it's
Andre's a liar.
That too, but also he's 35 years old. He always has some sort of ailments. But I think Steve knows that there is always risk, but he's always thinking about the big picture. So he can save minutes for some of those core guys. And Draymond was talking about how he was about to check into late in the game and he was feeling tired. But the fact that the bench was playing well enough at least to buy minutes, and, you know, Jordan Bell actually having a good game, miss dunk aside, that made Draymond fresh for when it counted. And we talked about all the things that made Draymond great. But on top of that, he really helped lift Jordan Bell after that missed dunk.
Big time.
He lifted the entire team with his playmaking. He's moving. I think Steve Kerr likened him to a wrecking ball. I also liken him to a race car driver that was driving 110 miles per hour, but he was very in control of the steering wheel. And that kind of leadership has a trickle-down effect where all of a sudden his teammates, both star players and bench players, feel the energy, feel that they have to pick it up, and they also feel confident about playing alongside with them. And that's huge now because they're up 3-0. No NBA team has ever come back from that deficit. And Andre aside, we'll know he'll have an MRI on Sunday, but him aside, everyone else seems pretty healthy.
It's a little weird that Andre's getting an MRI for left thigh soreness. Left, like, what's up?
Left calf tightness.
I guess they're a little bit on guard with calves. I'm glad that you brought up the rotations because the column was written. And that's fine. Listen, I'm fine with deleting the column. The Warriors' second quarter, start of the second quarter unit, was rough. And as awesome as the Warriors were in the second half, that took some stones from Steve Kerr to essentially throw out the same unit again to start the fourth quarter. The Warriors played an absolutely spectacular third. They allowed the Blazers to score 13 points in the third quarter. They came out with a vengeance in the third. And what does Steve Kerr do as the game is now close, tied? I think it was tied going into the fourth quarter. He's like, second quarter unit again. And it goes out. And you know what? They expanded the lead. Marginally, but they expanded the lead. Klay was chucking all game. he's been chucking a while. He feels a little less encumbered by Kevin not being out there. He's got to create more offense. And sometimes when Clay chucks, it goes in. And sometimes when it chucks, he looks real bad. And he at least admitted it in a nonverbal way tonight during the greatest sitcom on television, which is the Clay and Dre show in postgame press conferences. But Quinn Cook coming through with two big baskets to start the fourth quarter. They ISO'd up Quinn Cook twice in this game. And that's how you know the Blazers don't got it. Because we saw this in game six of the Western Conference semifinals against the Houston Rockets. When Quinn Cook is giving you 15 minutes and playing really well in those 15 minutes, you don't have it. Quinn Cook's a good player. He's a solid NBA guy. He's a pro's pro. I'm glad that he will stay in the NBA for a half decade, if not more. And that's impressive considering all of the trials and tribulations he went through coming into the league and given how small he is, honestly, in a league that is predicated on long three-point shooters, 3-and-D guys. But Quinn Cook coming in and isolating and getting buckets, that's how you knew that the Blazers didn't have their legs. That's how you knew. Also, Seth Curry playing 30 minutes. That's not going to do it. I like these Portland Trail Blazers. I hope that this becomes a rivalry of sorts, because I love coming up here. I thought their fans were awesome tonight. They have free beer after the game. I don't want to put too much stock into that, but I'm going to put a lot of stock into that.
That's just the beer talking right now.
Yeah, trust me, this is probably better than the normal version of Dieter talking. But I love what this Blazers team stands for. I think if they get another dude, I think if Nurkic is playing in this series, we might have a different ballgame. Nevertheless, they don't have the dudes. And I've been saying it since game one. They don't have the dudes. And the Warriors, as ridiculous as this sounds, the strength in numbers lineups where you're throwing out Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, Jonas Jerebko, those guys are out playing some of these Blazers. And that's just unacceptable if you're the Portland Trail Blazers. But the series is over. It's just a question of, this is my big question. The Warriors are going to take their foot off the gas pedal for game four. You can't pretend that they won't. And I thought this going into game four of last year's NBA Finals. There's no way they're not taking their foot off the gas pedal. The Blazers seem as if they have a lot of pride. Dame Lillard is a guy who the chip on his shoulder has sort of metastasized into his brain. Like, he will never, ever feel like he gets enough credit. He is an exceptional player, unbelievable player. He does not have the legs in this series. Maybe it's those Hulu Have Lies sports shoes that he's got going on that are stealing, the kryptonite shoes that are stealing all of his powers. Nevertheless, I'm interested to see this game four because the Warriors can get 9 days of rest. Nine, which are going to come in handy. It might almost be too much rest, but we can deal with that on the back end. 9 days of rest before game one of the NBA Finals. The Milwaukee Bucks look awesome over in the East. We'll see what happens in game three of that series tonight, I guess, by the time you're listening to this. That could be 3-0 very easily, and the Milwaukee Bucks could be just sitting waiting for a team. The Warriors have to take care of business up 3-0. I think that the Blazers are going to play with some pride. I think this is a prideful team and that they're going to go for it. And if the Warriors let up just a little bit, not so good. We all have to get on a flight to Oakland anyway. But, man, I'm interested to see how the Warriors rise to the occasion because it's still an occasion for them.
Yeah, not the end of the world if it goes 5 games. But here's the reality. I think the Warriors could not only just need as much rest as they can, I think most notably maybe for Andre Iguodala. Yep. Maybe he's not playing game four, we'll see. But yeah, you want your core guys to get some rest. But I think it's also more important for Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins. Now, it may not make a difference of like their availability for games. They're not going to be reevaluated until next Thursday. I don't think they're even expected to be in the Western Conference Finals. Heaven forbid this goes to Game 6 or Game 7. But I think it at least opens up more opportunities for possible days of them getting work. Because right now in this Western Conference Finals, there's no shoot-arounds. It's a 6 p.m. tip. And as a result of that, Steve Kerr, they're doing film sessions, they'll have meetings, they'll have, you know, voluntary workouts for some of the young guys, but there's no formal shoot around. And if there's extra games, you know, you instead of having no formal shoot around, that denies a potential practice where maybe DeMarcus Cousins can start ramping up whatever he can do, maybe Kevin Durant. The reality is they're not going to get reevaluated again until Thursday. So if it goes game five, it I don't know if it practically changes anything because that is on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The rest and the possibility of them maybe able to do some kind of integration will pay off because the end game is about trying to build some kind of momentum for them to be ready for game one, presumably of the NBA Finals, which would be May 30th in either Milwaukee or Toronto.
It's a great point. The other thing that happens in a 9-game layoff, should the Warriors be able to get it, is that they get worried that they're getting rusty. And so what they do is they scrimmage. And we saw with Damian Jones, I mean, obviously he hasn't worked out all that well. He's also a young player. And the one thing he was good at two things, let's say this, before he got injured. One was catching and finishing lobs. The other one was picking up fouls. So as much as we all like Damian Jones, this was pretty much on par. They just didn't have any lob opportunities for him tonight to complete the 1-2. The Warriors have scrimmaged before in the postseason, and I'm talking about real scrimmages here. I'm talking about 5-on-5, let's go, full bore, almost a game against worthy competition. Kevin Durant, Damian Jones, DeMarcus Cousins, all of those guys can really use a real 5-on-5, a real moment of trial. Whereas when we saw with Jones, he was just getting 3-on-3 against Jacob Evans, Marcus Derrickson, Damian Lee, Willie Green. I mean, Nick Kerr. Not even kidding. I mean, we saw the 3-on-3 we saw him play 3-on-3. They're fine. That's not even close to an NBA game. As much as some of those guys have played in the NBA. Nick Kerr has not. Nick Kerr played at Cal. He's done better than I. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, Willie Green. There's a reason Willie Green is an assistant coach now and an excellent assistant coach. That's not going to really prepare you for Giannis. If I'm being honest. So the Warriors going and taking care of business in game four, I agree with you 100%. I think that it does help Kevin and Boogie a lot because the Warriors are not going to scrimmage in any way, shape, or form if this stretches out. They're just going to say, we're fine. We're going to take as much rest as we can get for Andre, for Steph, who had a little rap on him after the game, for Draymond. Draymond used to be the Iceman after all games. Draymond's bumping around like he's on the keto diet. When this is all over, I'm going to Draymond, and I'm saying, what have you done? Explain to me your exact diet and exercise regime, because your boy needs to drop 25 after this postseason.
You know he's on that soul cycle life. And, you know, Marcus Thompson, he's the first to mention, like, hey, he dropped 20 pounds. So, yeah, I'm sure he changed his diet. But that soul cycle, that does wonders.
I've done it. I've done the one in San Francisco. The one in Berkeley is a little bougie. Love a good soul cycle. Mark, we're not going to get into my days back in South Florida when I would ride my bike around for 6 hours. I was young and I was beautiful and it was. Trust me, I know the power of the bike. Draymond looks great. I mean, it's incredible. You really do notice the difference in 25 pounds in a guy. I don't want to get too GQ here. Hot damn, Draymond. Way to go, buddy. Like, just as a man who struggled with weight in some of the same ways that Draymond has, just more power to you. What are you expecting out of game four here? I think that we both know the Warriors are going to probably take their foot off the pedal. Do you expect the Blazers to come at it?
Yeah, I think so, because they do have pride. I don't think that their makeup of a team is, hey, let's go 1-2-3 Cancun, because this is the first time they've been in the Western Conference Finals in a while. Damian Lillard's from Oakland, mm-hmm. went to Oakland High. He wants to play as many games as Oracle as he can. They're also just like a professional group, even though they just don't have enough firepower against the Warriors. Who does? But their lack of depth is very much pronounced. And it also doesn't help that, you know, if they were to have a fighter's chance, it would be Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum hitting shots. And they just haven't been doing that this series. And I thought that at one of these games they could have stolen it because one or two of them would have gone off. And it just hasn't happened yet. But I'm curious what the Warriors do. I mean, that's who their biggest opponent is. And frankly, like, that's why I asked Steve Kerr before the game, like, you know, what signals do you get? Any team meetings or just preparation, film sessions that give you some kind of vibe that, hey, the guys are going to bring it tonight? He said, really, there aren't any.
He has no idea.
And he didn't know in the regular season. He said in the playoffs, like, he thinks in fairness to them, they always bring it. In fairness to the guys tonight, like, I thought they opened the game and brought it. Like, it was Steve that didn't, and it was very calculated. It was very calculated. Like, there was an end game and a purpose. Yes. It wasn't just him not knowing what he's doing.
Well, it worked out, and if it hadn't, there would have been Collins.
But I'm wondering, like, does he start getting – even more creative. Like, say they sit Andre Iguodala. Does he start Jacob Evans all of a sudden?
It's
like,
J.E. three-time, like, baby.
Where is the line that he draws? What does he do with the center rotation? Is he going to keep evolving that? Like, does he give Damian Jones another try, or does he go back to Andrew Bogut, or maybe does he go with actually one of the bigs that has been playing well, i.e. Kevon Looney or Jordan Bell? Very hard to say at this point. What do you think?
It will be interesting, because I did think that the Blazers, this was Terry Stotts' best coached game. Uh-oh. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. By the time you hear this, we already know. But per Shams, everyone's favorite PR man, Damian Lillard has separated ribs and is playing through the injury, league sources tell. You know what? Let's just throw this out here. Dame Lillard, he's a tough dude. That's some LeBron broken hand nonsense right there. He didn't look like he had separated ribs in the first halves of games 2 and 3. He looked great. Dame Lillard's a player. If he really has separated ribs, he should just sit out game 4. Man, that's kind of weak sauce. Wait until the series is over and then do your whole... This is something I learned from hockey, from covering hockey. You wait until the end of the series, and then you disclose the number of injuries that you have.
That's what LeBron did.
Yeah. By the way, that was like the worst kept secret in basketball. I know that not a lot of people heard it, but I remember hearing it before game 3 last year and rolling my eyes in an intense manner when I heard it, to the point where it's like, and I mentioned this on the last show, like, you can't go out and try to break injury news. That is just dangerous territory. And by the way, injury news is the one that floats around the fastest. It's not like when you hear a trade coming around, like Woj doesn't have it in 30 seconds. Because injury news, not so much an agent thing. Injury news is usually a team thing, because the team doctors know, and they sometimes don't tell agents. That's dangerous territory. I don't want to go too far behind the curtain, but man, that's kind of weak. That's kind of weak. Listen, I think Dame is a dude. Let me just pull up his first half box score here. I mean... He had 9 points. Oh, sorry. He had 8 points in the first quarter. He had 10 points in the first half. He played like crap in the second half. Missing bunnies. That's not separated ribs. That's just not having the legs under you. I'm not buying it. I hate to do it. I hate to go in on an Oakland guy. He's a great guy. He does a lot for our community. He's a great player. He's an objectively great player. I haven't looked at him once, I'm usually reactionary to this kind of stuff and be like, man, he looks injured. No, he looked tired. There's a big difference. And maybe I'm conflating the two, but man, we should probably cut all this, by the way.
No, I say we keep it. I mean, this is what a podcast is all about. We're reacting to the news as it comes 24/7.
I don't like it. I just don't like that stuff being leaked, because it has to be leaked. It's not like Shams is in there and looking at x-rays and MRIs. He's in Chicago right now.
No, I'm saying I like your reaction. You may not like the news, but this is what it's all about, hearing what you think about the Lakers.
Yeah, no, yeah. This is what Twitter's for. I guess this is what the podcast is for. I don't care for the way that this was leaked. I know how this business operates. I know how this stuff comes out. After game 3... I might want to change my stance on 1-2-3 Cancun with this Portland Trailblazers team. If they're leaking injury news like this after game 3, they're setting themselves up to really phone it in game 4.
Well, I think it's also protecting themselves from that, but I think it also sets the narrative that, say, they do win game 4 and Damian Lillard has a really amazing game.
That's a good point.
Damian Lillard is a savior. Not only is he ensuring a game 5 coming back to Oakland, but he played through injuries. I know that covering Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant's injuries were real, and I say this out of respect. Like, the guy is a tough dude. They were never manufactured, but he was also very calculated. He knew how to feed the Kobe is tough narrative. And, like, I do have to distinguish, and this is just me being factual. Like, it's not like, his ability to play through injuries are real, so it's not manufactured. But he also knows how to maximize the narrative, and this is part of the Kobe playbook right here.
That's weird. It's just weird to me. I never viewed Dame as a guy who fed into this stuff. And I'm not saying that that's the case, but I agree with you. There is a narrative to that, and I think that that's a great point. I think that was a good counterpoint in the sense of, well, as much as this might be a 1-2-3 Cancun excuse, it's also, oh my God, Dame, he won one game against the Warriors with broken ribs or dislocated ribs. Maybe he's daring Andre Iguodala to play. I don't know. I would think that Dame would want the Warriors to win in the next round, considering he's an Oakland guy. just my thought on this. I don't think that the dislocated ribs have been a factor at all in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know what kind of pain he's going through. He's out there. You know, as much as – let's throw it back to the last series. Steph refused to make his finger an issue. And he was lobster claw on that thing. He couldn't do anything with his left hand. He's missing layups with his left hand. He was just batting at the ball, dribbling with his left hand. But he said, my ankle is not an issue. My left dislocated middle finger is not an issue. Okay. It'd be really easy for me as a columnist who has to try to make sense out of this contextually to just say, well, his left hand's messed up. That's why the Warrior, you know, that's why he can't do all this stuff. But he says it's not. I have to take the man at his word when it comes to injuries. And I don't think it's like a humbleness thing or anything. Like, I don't want to feed into that narrative. Just kind of weak sauce. Just kind of weak sauce. You do this after game four. You do this after a game five. You're still the hero. You do this after game three. What are we doing here? I mean, it's not as if this isn't leaked. And it's not as if Shams is not getting this from the Lillard camp. Like, it's just kind of weak sauce. And if I gotta take some heat for that, so be it. It's weak.
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned about Steph's an interesting window, because he did say after his struggles against Houston, not an excuse, but when the series was over, I did ask him how his finger's feeling and, you know, what's been the process of figuring out the puzzle of playing through it and, you know, how you wrap it, that sort of deal. And he said after the series was over, yeah, it's not going to stop hurting until I get some rest. Well, he started to get some rest the next 2 days, and that didn't necessarily solve everything. Right. But since then, he's played a lot better. Steve Kerr has said after he's consulted with the training staff that his finger is good. So it definitely falls under the playbook that you said. And even though there's no doubt the finger played a factor, like I remember talking with Bruce Frazier, the Warriors assistant coach, like he was very hesitant to say, oh, this is the reason why Steph is missing shots. Like the Rockets are playing him well defensively. There's so many things that go into it. But he said, yes, it is affecting his comfort level, his ball handling. They're figuring out a lot of things. There's not an easy solution to it. But you know what? Steph didn't say those things. People around him said it on his behalf. And so, yeah, you hit on the money there.
Okay, game four, Monday. It is a perfunctory game in the truest sense. The series is over. It ended tonight. No team has ever come back, as Mark pointed out, from 3-0. This Blazers team, with a very injured, apparently, Damian Lillard, is not coming back. Do you think that the Warriors get the job done? Because I am really struggling with that. As unimportant as it is, I'm really struggling with that notion.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I remember talking to someone actually in the middle of the Rocket series and asking them, you know, and this is someone who's not with the team, but, you know, works with certain players. And I was like, what do you think tonight? He's like, I don't know. Like, this team's one of the most unpredictable teams in NBA history. That right. Still falls here. I think since the Clippers series ended, I've never seen a game where the Warriors' effort was in question. Even tonight, the Warriors' effort wasn't in question. So I think that they will bring that. I think it really comes down to how well can the Trailblazers bounce back, and their guys, notably CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, actually produce. And then I'm also curious just what Steve Kerr's rotation is. Like, there's unanswered questions of what Andre Iguodala and the extent of the injury. He seemed fine. He was walking around. He's talking. He's jovial, yeah. Whatever. But even
that's
if
very
even
different if it's, from normal Andre, yeah, by the way.
And even if it's precautionary, like, they might just sit him because of that. But what is Steve's rotation outside of the core guys? What's the center rotation? I mean, that part's just very unpredictable, too, because if it's about winning the game, the answer would be obvious. You play Kevon Looney or Jordan Bell. Probably Kevon Looney because he's had a more consistent stretch. But Steve Kerr's end game is more about, you know, resting guys and buying minutes. So maybe you put Andrew Bogut back. Maybe you give Damian Jones another spot. I mean, actually, I take that back. I don't think Andrew Bogut will be back, because I think the reason why, and, you know, Steve is really going deep level here. I think Steve Kerr, as limited as Andrew Bogut is and not really effective, I think in a way he was trying to save him minutes for maybe them needing him in the NBA Finals. Like, that's how deep level he was thinking here.
It might be deep level. It could be deep level. When you win, everything's deep level. I thought Bogut was pretty good in the 2 minutes and 37 seconds he played in the second half.
But you know what? Like, results are results. It's professional sports are results-driven business. Yes. But philosophically, Dieter, like, what do you think about Steve Kerr's just thought process of fielding a very, very deep rotation against these guys?
Why would you do anything else? I mean, the Blazers can't beat you. They can't beat you. Look at the nonsense the Warriors have done the last two games, and they still won. They still won handily. You can play Damian Jones. You can waste 3 minutes and 17 seconds. He's out there with a second and fourth quarter, start of the second and start of the fourth quarter rotations that have no other goals other than to eat as much time as possible. Just don't allow field goals, not by playing great defense, but just by taking a ton of time. That's where the Warriors are at. This is mid-January basketball being played in the Western Conference Finals. That is the level of non-fear that these Warriors have towards the Portland Trail Blazers. That fear will not translate in any way, shape, or form to the NBA Finals. Both Toronto and Milwaukee deserve full levels of fear. The fact that you have to start on the road might be a good thing for this team. That is what it is. We will have plenty of time to talk about it. I think that you start Jordan Bell in Game 4. You see what happens. You bring in Damian for a little bit of a run. Here's what I want to see, actually, more than anything else. How about we see some Andre Iguodala with that second and fourth quarter units?
He might not even play. He's got this calf injury.
If he plays, I got an idea for minutes restriction. Don't start him. I get it. I understand why you want to start him. Start Alphonso McKinney. See if Alphonso McKinney has it that night against a very injured, very weary Damian Lillard. Because he locked out. He sucked in the first two games against Lillard when Lillard would isolate against him. In this game, he was awesome against him. He locked down Lillard multiple times, which might have led to a certain leaking of a certain report. But what I'm saying is ride that hot hand. Maybe he figured out, hey, you can retreat on defense. What a novel concept. Ride the hot hand of anytime Enes Kanter is in, I want Andrew Bogut in, because Enes Kanter does not want that smoke. Put in Damian Jones against Enes Kanter. The Blazers did a really good job tonight of only playing Kanter when Steph Curry was out of the game, because they couldn't pick and roll him. That's fine. Now put some strength against him, see how that happens. I think Steve Kerr has a lot of different cards that he can play. He doesn't have to play any of them because the Warriors are going to end up having more talent, and the Blazers are not winning four straight games against a healthy Golden State Warriors team and even an unhealthy Golden State Warriors team. But if you don't want to mess around, you can play Draymond 40 minutes. You can play Klay Thompson, 40 minutes. You can play Stephen Curry, 40 minutes. And they did tonight with Andre Iguodala out for most of the second half. You can do all that. You can play Kevon Looney, 35 minutes if you want to. Because if you win, you got 9 days off. Those guys can literally get on a plane and go to Cancun for 2 days and then come back, which they might do. I'm telling you, I've seen it before. They might literally get out of town. They might go from Portland to somewhere super sunny and nice and take a 2 or 3 day vacation and then come back for practice in a couple of days. That is something worth playing hard for. I do not get the same luxury. I have to go to New York for a graduation. So if they have a game five, I'm screwed either way. And New York, that's always the place you want to be in mid-May. Jesus. Nevertheless, Warriors up 3-0. I think that they are in just an exceptional position. I think they can mess around as much as they want. I take back everything I said from earlier in the podcast. The Blazers are waving the white flag. That Shams report has messed me up. Yeah, I don't think we have a game five. I think that Wednesday is clear. Mark, what are you going to do to this? Let's go behind the curtain here for a second. This is a wonderful city. We're in Portland. Yeah. I have enjoyed every minute I've been here. This was a great game to watch. What a pleasure. We have an 11:15 media availability tomorrow at the Warriors Team Hotel. After that, free game. What is your favorite part about the city of Portland, and what is the best meal you've had here thus far?
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know this city well. And the reason here's the reason, Dieter. My time covering the Lakers and the Warriors, I haven't covered a Portland playoff series. So I've never been in a city for an extended period of time. It's always usually on a second night of a back-to-back, and then usually you have to leave right away. Like, for some reason, the Lakers and the Warriors have played Portland, in my experience, the final night before All-Star weekend, or second night of a back-to-back, and then you got to go back to the Oakland or L.A. for a practice. Honestly, I have no idea. So I'm all about getting recommendations. I know that outside of the hotel, Matt, there looks to be a really vintage, not vintage, a very fancy luggage store. Maybe I'll get some new suitcases, some new toiletry bags. Yeah.
I went to four.
Hit up the Nike store, get some more kicks. But I'm all about getting some recommendations. So if anyone out here has them, I'm all ears.
I visited four, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4 different leather goods stores today.
Nice.
I needed to buy a wallet for my brother who's graduating from college next week. That's why I'm in New York. I'm going to buy him a wallet. And there was no better place to have to buy a fine leather good than Portland, Oregon. Two recommendations for you, Mark. I'm very excited. I think I'm going to try to get everybody together tomorrow night. And we're gonna hit the town right. Two recommendations, though, for anybody who's interested. Anyone who's made it this far clearly values our opinions too much. So let me just give you some food and or drink opinions. Number one, very much a fan of the food truck, which is across from the Warriors Hotel, which if you know what it is, you know where this is. It's next to the Nordstrom. It's fried egg, I'm in love. It is a breakfast sandwich food truck. Oh, boy. That was on point. As the connoisseur of sandwiches, as you can see from my general figure, I also recommend Lardo. Lardo is a great spot for sandwiches. I love coming up to Portland. This afternoon, I visited friends up here. Again, the Blazers play the game the right way. I think Dame, when his ribs are not separated, is a fantastic star to watch. I think Terry Stotts did a really nice job coaching this game tonight. I am hoping that we have Warriors-Blazers playoff series for the amount of time that I have to cover this team. I love coming up here. I love Portland. Love the Bay Area even more. Very excited to get back. Very excited for those 9 days off. Should the Warriors take care of business? But more than anything else, we're excited to tell you about the Clay Deal. The Clay Deal is 11 cents a day for 11 months. And Clay Thompson, we didn't mention this because we're nice. And frankly, Clay was fantastic in his postgame presser with his nonverbal communication. Clay had a bad game tonight. Clay went 8 for 20 from the floor. 8 for 20. Clay was chucking. 19 points, minus 1 in the game for Clay Thompson. Clay's going to have a monster game 4. That is a bold prediction from your man, Dieter Kurenbach. The Clay Deal, it's always a monster deal. 11 cents a day for the next 11 months. That way you're not hitting the paywall. That way you're getting all of Mark Medina's latest updates straight from the source. You're getting my analysis, whatever that's worth. You're getting Matt Schneidman, who's on the road with us, the wonderful, intrepid Matt Schneidman, bringing his A game. He has to cover the Oakland Raiders. They're not bringing the best out of him. This Golden State Warriors team, it is. Schneidman's a star, bringing his A game. You're going to want to read it. Bringing all of the good stuff from all around this team. And listen, we're going to have to dig deep. We're going to have to dig deep for some storylines leading into these NBA finals. But when we do, I feel like our best is yet to come, Mark Medina. And when it's there, you're going to want that Clay Deal. You're going to want that 11 cents a day for the next 11 months. Forgetting all of that for a second, you're going to want to follow Mark Medina on Twitter. That's MarkG_Medina. Feel free to follow me on Twitter as well, at DKurtenbach. And listen, if you've made it this far, if you've enjoyed our IPA-aided ramblings, mine. Mark stays on point at all times, but let's just call it mine. Then please, if you haven't already, subscribe. And if you're already subscribed, please rate and review. We'll take anything you got for us. Love to move the podcast up the rankings. We love doing it for you. We're very excited to bring you our podcast after game 4, because boy, whichever way it goes, it's gonna be a dandy. We're gonna go enjoy a wonderful day in Portland, Oregon. We're going to go enjoy a wonderful game 4. We'll talk to you after that. Then it's back to the Bay, hopefully, for 9 off days. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk soon.